Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Some have called it the battle hymn of the Reformation. That hymn, of course, is the song we just sang, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Possibly you remember the first time you really heard this great hymn. I believe it was this song that first made my heart swell as a child, long before I understood the theology behind it. Its message was simple, yet awe-inspiring and comforting. Its melody was as strong and powerful as its words. And it wasn't just me. It seemed as though the entire congregation roared with robust singing. Of course, that has become a little bit more difficult with the COVID virus. But what a moment it was as a child, and how proud I was to be a Lutheran on Reformation Sunday. One writer said it so well. He said, "When I sang, 'A Mighty Fortress Is Our God,' I felt as if I were thumbing my nose at the devil, the world, and all the enemies of the church." This hymn was the song of the Reformation, full of hope and pride. You know, the story behind this great hymn is a bit shrouded in mystery. Most scholars believe that it was written down somewhere around 1527 or 1528, a little bit of time after the Reformation had started. Not as known a whole lot about how this came to be. We do know that this psalm is based on Psalm 46. But you wonder, what drew Luther's spirit to this psalm so that this great hymn was inspired? What were the circumstances of his life that may have brought this hymn into existence? Most of you know, if you've done any kind of study of Luther and the Reformation, that Luther began his studies to become a lawyer. God help us. And we know that it was a great thunderstorm. While Luther was fearing for his life, he prayed to Saint Anne and made a vow to become a monk. And from that point on, Luther turned his sharp mind toward the things of God, and he became a priest and eventually a doctor of theology, teaching at a newly found university in Wittenberg, Germany. It was his study of the scriptures that placed him on a difficult road in life. And it was his faith that sustained him to the very end of his life. The Reformation began with a debate about a church practice Luther strenuously opposed. It was the practice of selling indulgences. He wrote and then he posted 95 theses or statements on this Wittenberg Castle Church door in October 31st, 1517. And it was to be a scholarly debate. It was written in Latin. It was quickly translated into German, and because of the Gutenberg press, spread like a California wildfire. Well, let me say right off the bat that Luther was not a Catholic hater. He was very much a son of the church and only wanted its teachings and practices to be in line with the scriptures. What was going on at this time? The Roman See was in the middle of raising money to build St. Peter's Basilica, a beautiful structure even to this day. However, what was needed to build this impressive and ambitious structure was money, and lots of it. Albrecht of Mainz, an archbishop, was looking for more territory to rule over. So a deal was struck with Rome. Albrecht was able to purchase the price of another bishopric, and of course this would give him rule over those areas. Well, there was a problem. In fact, there were three. Number one, he wasn't even an ordained clergy. Number two, even if he had been an ordained clergy, you're only allowed one bishopric, not three. And thirdly, he borrowed the money from bankers in order to pay off the Vatican, who gave him permission to raise money through this process called the selling of indulgences. The money that was raised, half of it would go to pay off his loan to the bankers, and half of it would go to the Vatican. He was able to live quite well ruling over these three bishoprics. So Albrecht hired a Dominican monk by the name of John Tetzel. And he was given the authority to go from town to town offering indulgences that were signed by Pope Leo X, which would give the buyer or anyone that was designated in the indulgence full and complete forgiveness and escape from the fires of purgatory. Luther was incensed by this and challenged this practice, and literally didn't know what kind of a can of worms he was opening. He was so sure that when the Pope got wind of what was going on, he would put a stop to the practice, but not so. And in 1521, a decree, a bull of excommunication was put upon Luther, making him not only a heretic within the church, but an outlaw of the Holy Roman Empire. Many thought that Luther would end up like John Huss 100 years before, who was burned at the stake for simply teaching that communion should be given in both kinds. Luther rediscovered the pure gospel teaching that a man is not justified by works of the law, but he is justified rather by grace through faith in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. But if you think for a moment that major church squabble was all that Luther was facing, you would be mistaken. These years were some of the darkest years in Luther's life. A heading from a broadsheet, kind of like sheet music of the hymn, Mighty Fortress, the heading for the songs reads, "A Hymn of Comfort." Rather than a battle hymn, Luther intended this hymn, based on Psalm 46, as a hymn of comfort. We're not quite certain what prompted Luther to write the hymn, but scholars have suggested a number of events during these dark years. In August of 1527, a man who followed Luther's teachings was martyred. Imagine having that on your conscience. In the fall of 1527, a plague broke out in Wittenberg, where he taught. In December 1527, Luther wrote a colleague saying, "We are all in good health except for Luther himself, who is physically well, but outwardly the whole world and inwardly the devil and all his angels are making him suffer." A few days later, in January 1528, Luther wrote that he was undergoing a period of temptation that was the worst he had ever experienced in his life. Now, when the word temptation is a translation from a German word, Anfechtung, which is more than a temptation or a trial, but it refers to the anxiety, the doubt, fear, suffering, or terror that one experiences in life. It's kind of one of those big, all-encompassing words. But more trouble followed. In December of 1527, Luther's daughter Elizabeth was born sickly. In May of 1528, she died. 6 months of wrestling with the Lord in prayer to save his sick daughter was a period of overwhelming anfechtung.
He was mentally and spiritually fatigued. He was under the cross of suffering, and yet he took comfort in the Psalms and trusted in the promises of Jesus. Besides the challenges brought on by the plague, tragedy in his own personal life, struggles abounded in the church. From 1517 to 1525, most of Luther's focus was on the abuses within the Roman church. From 1525 on, the struggles came from multiple fronts. When Luther most likely wrote the hymn, the greatest challenge arose from other groups that had broken away from Rome. There were people who claimed to follow the Bible and Luther who wanted to revolt against the government, and Luther wouldn't have anything to do with it. Others questioned whether pastors were necessary. Some doubted whether infants should be baptized or not. And the greatest and most divisive controversy among the reformers also took place during these years. It's called the Sacramentarian Controversy. That is the fight over the Lord's Supper, a gift that Jesus gave to his church, became the great controversy of the church. That was Luther's world in these tumultuous years. A mighty fortress is our God was the result of much tribulation in his life, much anfechtung. But why focus on Psalm 46? Our Zoom adult Bible class on Sunday mornings has been studying 1 and 2 Samuel, which records the rise of the shepherd boy, David, who became king. And although God had rejected Saul and the prophet, Samuel had anointed David as king. Believe it or not, it took about 20 years before David actually realized his kingship over Israel. David dealt with attacks from the outside and also from within Israel. David's own sin in his own personal life as an adulterer and murderer is something he dealt with. David's depression was so evident when his own son Absalom rebelled against him, and when the elders asked him to leave Jerusalem, and when later Absalom, his son, was killed. In any one of these circumstances, how easy would it have been for David to fall into a deep depression and anxiety? Psalm 46 was the record of his faith and, most importantly, of his comfort from God. It was David's personal history with God that gave him such confidence and such comfort, and for the people of Israel. And David could say from the bottom of his soul, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." It didn't matter what calamity might befall him or the nation, whether it be the natural convulsions of the earth or war with all the tottering kingdoms. "God is in the midst of her," David would say. "She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns." It's one thing to see this godly confidence in Luther or David, but when it comes from Jesus, we have all the more reason to join in this hymn of comfort. You remember that Jesus had fasted very early in his ministry, 40 days in the wilderness. He was tempted in every way in which you and I would be tempted. He was tempted to question and doubt the very promises of God. And in the midst of this temptation, Jesus felled the devil with one word, one little word. He called on the promises of God recorded in the scriptures. And because Jesus defeated the devil's temptations, we know that in him, we too will overcome the devil's temptations and trials. Just like Luther, just like David, we too can cling to those comforting words in our moments of unfechten despair. I'm almost done. What does it mean for us? That's the big question. What a privilege to know so many of you in our congregation who share this conviction and faith that God is our mighty fortress, who can say the Lord of hosts is with us. Gwen, before your surgery, we had a conversation, and it was like a vitamin B shot of faith for me. You had no words of self-pity, discouragement, or doubt, only faith, conviction, and praise to God for how he had been with you throughout all your years. We call this presence ministry, and I'll need to explain that. It's a ministry that only wounded warriors like yourselves can participate in. Those who know God's presence in this darkest times. Many of you have experienced those dark times in life, similar to what Luther, King David, and Jesus experienced. And you have borne witness to God's goodness and protection in spite of those dark circumstances. And we are inspired by that. We are inspired by your engendered faith. None of us will ever know the depth of Jesus' suffering and death, but his story still lives on within us because it didn't end in death. He rose from the grave and now lives to all eternity, seated at God's right hand. That makes him our mighty fortress. And the Lord of hosts is with us. One more example of this presence ministry. You may have heard this just a few days ago. A young man was killed in a car accident out here on I-64, just between St. Clair and exit and O'Fallon exit there at Sam's. His name's Ryan Marler. He graduated from OTHS back in 2002, I believe. He played baseball with our son, Eric, and was a friend to many of our kids at that time here at Blessed Savior. Marty was reminding me that his mother back in those early days around the year 2000 had succumbed to cancer. And we went to the funeral and then finally to the interment. And after the benediction, Ryan was kind of standing off by himself. Boys from the baseball team, some with parents, some by themselves, whatever, came from different areas and just went and stood beside their friend, Ryan. It was moving. And without speaking a word, they were all saying, "We're here for you, buddy." That's what it means to be a part of God's church. And to share in this presence ministry. The Lord of hosts is with us, and it inspires in us confidence and faith and hope in the darkest times. And so we stand together, supporting one another in that faith, encouraging one another. And sometimes it's those folks that are going through the darkest times in their lives. Gwen, thank you. That give us that shot of faith and confidence that the Lord is with us. That's presence ministry. That's what the church needs to be all about. God has spoken to us through the prophet David, through the apostles of Jesus, and through many people like Luther, David, Gwen, some high school boys, but most importantly, through Jesus, who pointed us to God when we face the hour of our trouble, and who promised Israel and promised us, saying, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And as we know and experience his presence through his people, we can say with David, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Amen.